We are going to switch modes a little bit and switch artists. In fact, we're going to play Switch Back. They were on not too long ago, and they've got a brand new album just came out. And I want to be quick to play it here. Birds of Prey is the new Switchback album. I believe this is, I want to say, number 18. They were the subject of my column in the Times yesterday. You saw those good-looking guys standing there with their guitars and mandolins. And, well, you can see them tomorrow, Saturday, doing the same thing at Bulldog Park in Crown Point. It's a free concert, all ages, beautiful facility, and some incredible music. And if you are a fan of NPR, and I'm sure you are, or you wouldn't be listening today, I'm sure you probably watch our PBS TV stations as well here at Lakeshore Public Media. So you have seen Switchback on many PBS TV specials. In fact, if you are a pledge person and support what we do here, you may even own the DVD, because I know we use those as some of the pledge gifts when we have done pledge time. So you may already be very familiar with Switchback, but you're probably not familiar with the latest album. It's a great album of Americana music, and we're going to get to the title track right now. This is Birds of Prey, new stuff from Switchback. Marty will be joining us, Marty McCormick of the band, after this.
Roots. I've got roots. I can feel the shoots neath the hardest boot. Love. I know love. I can rise above. I can soar on love. Birds of prey, we're just birds of prey. Home, halfway home, busy as a teeth on a fine-tooth comb.
Switchback, old friends of this show. I've known these guys for years, and I never get tired of their music. And that is the latest, the title track, Birds of Prey from Switchback. It's a beautiful gatefold album, 14 tracks, all originals, written by my guest Marty McCormick and Brian Fitzgerald. And Marty, are you with us?
I sure am. How you doing, Tom?
Doing good. I got to say, I am very excited to bring you on stage tomorrow. It's going to be cool to be able to announce you guys at Bulldog Park.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's such a from what I've seen, the pictures and that, it looks like a great facility. I was actually, where the heck was I? I was way up in the UP, and somebody came up and was talking about it. So it's kind of nice to know that there's a little bit of buzz surrounding the new pavilion.
Yeah, it's brand new. It's like a multi-million dollar pavilion. It's the inaugural year, the inaugural season. And they've been doing all different styles of music, blues and rock and jazz and bluegrass. And now we're bringing the Americana slash Celtic kind of sound to it. And you and Brian were here at the studio not too long ago. And we were talking a little about Birds of Prey coming out and your date that you had played in Highland. And also the date you did at Theater of the Performing Arts, Theater mm-hmm. at the Center, which you've done now for 9 or 10 years, I think.
Well, yeah, at least. Every year we put on a real fine Celtic show, Irish show at the Theater at the Center, and it's kind of a little tradition that we've kept going there in Northwest Indiana, and just the perfect place, really, to see that kind of show, and we're going to be doing it again this year in 2020.
Wow.
So we're looking forward to that, we're just we're humming along. We're about to have the national release of Birds of Prey. If anybody is out in the Denver area, we're going to be doing it a week from today at a theater called the Soiled Dove. It's one of the premier places to catch live music in Denver, and very excited about that venue as well.
There's kind of a paradox there to have the Birds of Prey at the Dove Theater. It's kind of
it's an aviary theme.
You got the Birds of Prey, you got the dove, the symbol of peace. So kind of unique. That sums up you guys a lot. There's a lot of interesting stuff in your lyrics, and this mm-hmm. album is 14 songs. And last time you were here, you and Brian were telling me that you're about 4 albums deep in material that you haven't gotten around to releasing yet. The prolificness of your writing, where does it come from?
Well, if I had a quick answer for that, the writing is a gift, the way I look at it, and for me personally, it's just seems to have a radio going on in my mind all the time with lyrics and that sort of thing, so that's really where it comes from, and picking up on just stories of people and everyday events that there's song lyrics in everything that everyone does. To some mm-hmm. degree, so it's just out there in the ether to grab. Some people are more receptive to it than others.
Like Lennon and McCartney, all your songs are credited to Fitzgerald McCormick. Do you actually collaborate on everything together? Do you bring in independent songs and just share the credit? What's the style? What's the format that you guys work in as songwriters?
When we work as songwriters, the idea a long time ago, we just wanted to do exactly what Lennon and McCartney did, because it clears the decks when it comes to creativity. Both of us we bring songs to the table in various stages, they can be a song that's completely finished or to some, again, to some degree. I mean, everybody gets to kind of take a crack at it or ideas. And Brian's a very different songwriter from the way I write songs. And so that kind of complements, the way that we approach our music. I really enjoy his way of writing, and I think he enjoys mine. And so it just gives a nice little rounded edge to everything that we, we do. Mm-hmm. Kind of a paradox there, but I mean, it's good to have that sounding board, at least in our partnership.
14 songs on this album. They're relatively short. They range from like 2.5 to 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. Did you write all of these songs with one album in mind? Is there a thematic approach when you write for an album, or are these songs that you had that you just felt fell together well?
I'd say about 90% of this was written with the idea that we're going to produce an album. There are a couple songs that as the album progresses, and mind you, you know, when we start working on an album, it takes on a life of its own. And so as we're working on an album, it's at that point where, like, a song like Young Man's Mind, we were listening to that. That's an old song that Brian had, and we were like, that would be a great song to stick in this album. So there is, in some ways, some songs just sitting there in dry dock, waiting to find the right album. But then again, there's a lot of songs that just kind of coalesced. I'd say the germinating song for this album was probably the Kansas Love Song.
Okay.
And then everything else kind of came into place. Even the title track, Birds of Prey, was not originally going to be the title track. We're looking at Highway kind of being, possibly the title track. And then we're like, Birds of Prey sounds so cool. And that's how it all comes about. There's no rhyme or reason.
Go ahead.
Now there are albums like our Irish album, Bull and Ree, in which we were like, yeah, we're going to put together, an Irish album that has some very specific original Irish tunes that we want to have, built around it, and some traditional ones. But, each album is different.
Let's go back to that song that was the germination of this, the Kansas Love Song, and let's run like the devil into this new album, Birds of Prey. More with Marty after this.
Cottonwoods ring. Listen to the song the meadowlark sing. I swear what he's singing must be true. A song about love between me and you. Let's run away. Run like a devil. Run like a devil. Hide away. Where no one can find us. No one can find us. Fly so high, birds of a feather, birds of a feather. You and I love you forever, love you forever. Pretty far. Road never easy, but never too hard. One day we're walking through fields of wheat. Next day landed down at our feet. Let's run. Smoky Hill River. Life's little things, things we remember. Our love is the cottonwoods bring. Our love is a song the meadowlarks sing. Let's run away. Run like the devil. Run like the devil. Hide away. No one can find us. No one can find us. Fly so high, birds of a feather, birds of a feather, you and I.
They are birds of a feather, and they've been flocking together for about 34 years. That is Switchback, Marty and Brian, and what a great album. Now, how long did it take, Marty, to get this album in our hands?
This was a three-year project. My daughter was two.
Wow.
When we started this, and... That last little sleeper track, the 14th track, that was a recording I actually put on my phone when I was walking back from a park with her. She loves to play in parks, still does at five. But that's how we kind of timed it. We were like, my gosh, it's been 3 years of putting this thing together.
You guys have released installments of your career in 10-year installments. You've done like the first 10 years, the second 10 years, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a 30th anniversary?
Oh yeah, there's going to be a 30th coming.
Because you're almost there now.
We're almost there recording. Yeah, I mean, you know, Brian and I have been working together, like you said, for 34 years. We formed Switchback back in '93. For about 7 years before that, we were doing nothing but Irish music. We went to Wailing Banshees and such. And so our anniversary albums have kind of gone from the date. Actually, tomorrow will be the anniversary of the date that we started Switchback, August 3rd. But it's kind of funny that, when the 20th is out, we've already been at it for about 27 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so 30th is due.
Okay. I didn't realize tomorrow was going to be the anniversary of you guys forming the band. That makes tomorrow at Bulldog Park extra special.
Yeah, and it's, we're going to have a full band out there. We're going to have Brian's nephew, Paul Russell, on fiddle, mandolin, and guitar. And then we're going to have a wonderful drummer originally from Chicago, but now living out Brian's neck of the woods of Decorah, Iowa, Nick Herka, who is not only a great drummer, but another great singer, and plays a little banjo too. So it's going to be a great show.
How much of Birds of Prey are we going to hear during the show versus the other 17 albums you've got under your belt?
Well, what we're going to do is probably run through Birds first, at least as many tracks as we can, and then we're going to follow it up with selections from all the other albums. So people that know us for Celtic, like Connemara Man and songs like that, they're not going to be disappointed. They're going to get that high energy Switchback show.
Connemara Man, one of my favorites. That, and I love the way you do What Do You Do With a Drunken Sailor. Those are my two favorites as far as your stuff, Celtic.
That's a nice traditional, but we put our own spin on it.
Mm-hmm. Now, as I mentioned earlier, PBS TV has embraced Switchback over the years. You've done not one, not two, but three PBS mm-hmm. television specials. And I know that we have had those on DVD. We have issued those as the gifts for those here that have pledged to support PBS and NPR. Are those available at your shows, or is that strictly a PBS thing? I don't know.
No, we're starting to phase out the DVDs, so I'm going to have a bunch of them tomorrow and get them at a kind of a celebratory price. We decided to mark things down in celebration of Birds of Prey on a lot of our merch, just because we want people to have it, and so that's if somebody comes tomorrow. In fact, I received a couple emails from people just wondering if we're going to have the stuff with us tomorrow at Crown Point. So by all means, come on out and you can get your hands not only on Birds of Prey, but on a lot of our merchandise.
Excellent, excellent. Now, is there any talk of doing another special? You're about due. It's been a while.
Yeah, you know, it's funny how those come together. I know we're going to take the concert in Colorado that it's going to be recorded. And there's talk about doing a live concert in Columbus, Ohio as well. So usually when that happens, when they're videotaped, you know, that it's the next step from that is probably, you know, PBS coming in and taking them. So, you know, it's we're due. We're definitely due for a PBS special.
Now, we just had a young lady on who's starting to explode on the Americana scene. She plays a harp, guitar, has won a lot of different indie awards. Lizzie No, she's coming to the forefront here at Front Porch Music. And the reason I bring that up is because you guys, you and Brian, have been doing this Americana thing before it became trendy, way before Brother Wherefore Art Thou or whatever that movie was with George Clooney that
right.
kind of triggered everything, and the Luminaires. And, you know, all the different groups that have come out and started playing mandolins and dobros and things like that in pop music. You guys were way ahead of that curve. Did it surprise you to see that the music you were kind of bucking trends with suddenly become mainstream?
Well, it was kind of funny, you know, not only that, but I think the surprise I got was when I was reading, I think it was American Songwriter or Songwriter Magazine, I forget which, but they were talking about bands that have Celtic influence that are playing Americana. And I thought, well, now that's, and really what they were looking at was like Steve Earle, lot of those artists that kind of have drawn upon, it could be argued, you know, Wilco with Billy Bragg and that, you know, there's just a little bit of that drawn on that Celtic folk flavor. And, yeah, we were doing it for, you know, since we started, even when we were playing in the Irish band, we were really kind of pushing the envelope of what Irish music was. And so we just, when we started Switchback, we just moved it the other way. We concentrated on our American roots those early days, nobody knew what the heck we were. They couldn't really pigeonhole us. And we weren't country, we weren't rock and roll, we weren't bluegrass, we weren't Celtic, but we were everything. They just didn't have that word Americana. And then, you know, Ryan Adams and Whiskey Town came out, and No Depression Magazine came out, and all of a sudden, you know, there was this genre that was called Americana music that we had been playing. And so it's kind of a funny thing to know that you predate a form of music. And it's also kind of funny to know that, you know, we were doing it before it was really considered, you know, hot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but still, that being said, I don't think we're you know, I always joke we're the most famous band you never heard of, and I think that holds true. I mean, a lot of people like Switch, you know, they think we're Nickelback or Switchfoot, you know, and
mm-hmm. When I mentioned you, I do get a lot of things. Oh, Switchfoot, yeah, no, Switchback,
right, right. You know, and we predate those guys, and so that was also kind of funny too. You know, it's just. So, you know, the old saying, slow and steady wins the race, that's kind of where we're at with it. We just thought, you know, we've really, you know, our eye is on just crafting great songs, and that's basically it. We're in it because we love it, and we're dedicated to, you know, bringing people together through music,
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, that's what we're about. If the accolades follow, if recognition comes, that'll be wonderful. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm human, so, you know, that would be wonderful to get that kind of recognition, but it's not necessary for any artist, in my opinion. You know, the best thing is just, you know, the joy of bringing people together in a live music format. It can't be beaten, you know. I don't think there's any other kind of art form that really quite accomplishes it the way that music does, you know. So that's why I'm in it.
when you were doing the Celtic music, you had a hardcore following of Celtic music fans and the Irish descendants and things like that. When you started doing a little more of the roots stuff, the Americana as we call it now, did you see a little hesitation? I mean, was it kind of like when Dylan went electric because you were kind of straying a little bit, even though it's relatable music?
Well, we certainly lost, festivals. We made a conscious decision that we just, when we started pushing the Americana and really going into it, the people there were like, well, we want to hear, the Irish music. We kept it throughout, but we were no longer that kind of Irish, festival band, I guess would be the best way to put it. And we really didn't want to be, that kind of band. It's just, we thought we would, writing our own music and however it came to us was the best way to really serve the news. And so people that followed us, that really enjoyed us and, knew that we weren't going to abandon the Irish music 100%. They just went along, but it was not so much our fans as it was the people that were producing festivals and, they were kind of, they're like, you guys are, it's harder to sell you, I guess would be, where they were looking at it. We weren't that lickety splickety, Irish kind of music anymore. Kind of coming at you with a little more harder edge guitar. So I guess it was our Dylan gone electric. Yeah.
All right. Well, tomorrow you're going to hear both. We're going to hear the new album, a lot of the new album, Birds of Prey. We're going to hear a lot of the Celtic music and a lot of the traditional songs that people have come to know you for. You are doing a lot more Americana now. Are you doing a tour in support of this album specifically now that it's out?
Yeah, we have about 6 or 7 dates right now that people go to waygoodmusic.com. They can see where we're doing it, and we're lining up more. We're actually filling into 2020.
There's a lot of dates here.
Yeah, and it's the bringing together the big band with not only our core players, but also we bring in some additional backup vocalists and that kind of sound. It takes a bit of doing, and so those are very exciting dates. You can go to any one of those shows, and it's not going to be like the other show, just because of the personnel that are coming in. So our show, for example, in Colorado has two wonderful musicians that are joining us out of the Denver area. The show in Columbus has this great accordion player, singer Jenny Malone, that's going to be joining us, and so that's in Cincinnati. So, I mean, there's just anybody that wants to come and see this, they're not going to be disappointed. In fact, if there's somebody that follows us to every one of those shows, I want to know who that person is. I can buy him a beer or something.
Now, this album, you said the national release is coming up. That's the Colorado show, correct?
Correct, yeah.
How long has it actually been out? You gave me my copy, and thank you for that, on the July 4th weekend when we were together. And I have loved this album. I've started playing it right away. When was it officially released, let's say locally or in the Midwest or in the U.S.?
Well, it's really going to be officially released August 9th.
Okay.
When the national release starts. We're just at the point of getting it all up online. And, that was something that in the past we've been really kind of lax in building up our release of our albums. And so, it only took us about 17 albums to kind of get our act together. So when people want to get it online, they just, August 9th, it'll be up through our website, CD Baby, iTunes, all those places will start, selling it. But, we want to encourage people, come out to the show, get the show, get the album. If you come to a live show, tomorrow you can get the album. We're going to sell it, of course. And, you know, the best way to enjoy it is to hear it done live. It's such a fun album done live, you know. Mm-hmm. But I'm very proud of the album in the sense that it has a very live feel from the studio. And I think Paul Mertens, the producer, just did a masterful job of really kind of embellishing, you know, our live sound.
Now, he's worked with you on past albums, too. Is he like a third member of this trilogy here?
I kind of, I don't know if we could say he's our George Martin, but he's just one of these super intelligent and talented kind of people, and a humble guy, too. He played in Poi Dog Pondering. He has that local, historical, respected, band that he can, attribute. And currently he's working with Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. And
wow.
I think there's a lot of that that kind of, channeling of Brian Wilson. He does all the musical arrangements for Brian Wilson. So, you know, to have that kind of feeling, mm-hmm. you know, applied toward what we do was great, because he tuned into our vocals, he tuned into the way we, our arrangements, and, there was definitely times I felt like, we had Brian Wilson sitting around with us, you know, in the studio. So Paul does do a wonderful job of bringing that kind of energy to the music.
Well, let's play another song from this for the listeners off Birds of Prey. I think we need to slip into our doe skin pants for that old barn dance. More with Marty on the other side. Stay with us.
Papa gonna put on his doe skin pants. Papa gonna put on his doe skin pants. Papa gonna put on his doe skin pants. Papa gonna do the old barn dance. Now Papa gonna put on his riding boots. Yeah, Papa gonna put on his riding boots. Papa gonna put on his riding boots. Well, across the floor, you can watch him scoot. Papa gonna put on his doeskin pants. that belt high. Papa gonna put on his rap belt hat. You didn't think Papa was such a cool guy. Papa gonna put on his black string tie. When he starts to boogie and you watch him fly. Papa gonna put on his calico shirt. You didn't know Papa was such a big turd. Papa gonna put on his riding boots. Well, across the floor and you watch him stoop. Papa gonna put on his snowskin pants. Papa gonna dig it in your barn.
Black string ties and doe skin pants are optional tomorrow at the Pavilion. It will be an old barn dance, though. And I played that song specifically because it shows such a diversification of the stuff we've already heard from this album, Birds of Prey. My guest is Martin McCormick, half of the group Switchback. Well, I guess it's an evolving group because there's always different guys coming in and out. But the mainstays, the cornerstones, are Marty and Brian Fitzgerald. And this is their latest album, Birds of Prey, and the old barn dance. Now, that is a different style, Marty. Tell me about that song.
Well, it's you know, it's funny because that voice that we kind of threw on it was just every time we tried to sing it straight, it just didn't work. And it was a song that was written when my daughter was just an infant and I was walking around, you know, at 2:30 in the morning, basically trying to get her. And so it's got a little bit of that marching quality to it. But the voice kind of came in where, you know, thought, well, this is kind of fun, you know, to do like a, almost like a little psychobilly, you know, kind of a hoedown, you know, that's tripping a little bit, you know, trippy hoedown. And that was really what kind of got it going. It's just, and it turns out to be one of the songs that a lot of people just get into. They just love the repetitive nature of it. It's playful. You know, it is kind of appealing to the kid and all of us, you know, that idea of an old guy getting up and boogieing away and, you know, kind of a nod back to the old hippie days. And that's really where it comes from, is just that idea of, you know, letting yourself go, and the voice itself is, you know, just us letting ourselves kind of go and saying, hey, we can have fun doing this music, you know, get out there, get dancing, have a good time.
Now, is that your voice? Were you singing that?
Oh, yeah.
Can you replicate that on stage with that sound?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, that's all. That's no, you know, that's just doing it, just kind of doing it, singing a little character voice. And, you know, I mean, you know, back in the days, you know, Mama Told Me Not to Come, you know, you always had those kind of people that were doing kind of a certain kind of character, you know, voices that made the songs fun. And, you know, I've had some friends who said, you know, you can't be serious. You're going to sing it like that. And I'm like, yeah, I've got a trained voice, you know, I should be able to do, you know, use my voice however I want. You know, Mel Blanc was serious.
So, right.
It makes the song work, you know, and so, I really enjoy that. It was just a lot of fun.
Now, is that when you'll be performing tomorrow from the album?
Absolutely. You know, and, it's fun when we see people, you know, get into it and start dancing.
Brian's wife, Maggie, sings on this album. I was just wondering if your wife, Ann, has any musical input on the music you guys do.
You know, she's, you know, you're one of the first people to ask me that. That's cool. You know, my my wife Annie, she comes from an extremely musical family, and her dad is probably, you know, just a walking encyclopedia of music. Grew up in communist Poland, went to the U.S. embassy, you know, and would get records. I mean, the real story, you know, just of being turned on by, you know, rock and roll, and she is extremely creative, and her influence, she's done a lot of the artwork for her albums in the past, and she is musical, but coaxing her up on stage to sing is another thing.
So, well, maybe on the next album. You get 30 years under you, you get another 30 ahead of you there, so.
But I should say her brother, Alain de Courtenay, if people look him up on Facebook, he's a fantastic young singer-songwriter that's out there, and he's going to be releasing a new album. So it's definitely a musical family, and my daughter, she wants to be a singer, so I think the bug is firmly planted.
And how old is she now, two?
She's five.
Oh, she's five. She's five. Oh, she was two when you were in the park with her. That's what it was.
Yeah, 2 years old, and she, you know, was making up lyrics then. So, you know, my hopes for her being a brain surgeon are slowly diminishing.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, you'll be producing her pretty soon. We'll have another generation.
You know, that's what happened to Lloyd Maines. His daughter, Natalie, was, just a fantastic talent. And, you know, the next thing you know, she took off with the Dixie Chicks and the rest is history. You know?
Right. And, of course, Lloyd, great producer, and he produced some of your earlier stuff, and now you're working with Paul, another great producer. You guys are always involved in the production and yourself, though. Your fingerprints are on the music, you and Brian. Is it difficult to let other people take your music to where it needs to go?
No, not really. I mean, I think having a producer is for us is a pretty freeing thing. Because Brian and I are pretty opinionated, and so we try to, you know, it's good to have a producer as not only an inspiration but a referee at times.
Okay.
And the best thing for us to do is to in the case of Paul, is to turn to him and say, hey, you know, we're going to defer to you. We want your input on this, and and then come back around and say, you know, once he has an idea, you know, let's see, well, what about this? Or, you know, then the collaborative part, having that third person in there is crucial, I think. It's really important. Not to say that Brian and I couldn't do it, but it's just, it's a lot more fun. It's a lot more inspirational. And when you do come to loggerheads, you know, the best thing is to kind of turn to that producer and say, produce. You know, and have the final say and walk away from it. So, you know, that's why, that's a mark of a good producer. And Lloyd Maines is the same kind of guy. He, when he said, hey, Lloyd, you know, take it, he'll take it, you know. And he's also open to, you know, ideas. And so he gets that kid-like excitement and Paul Mertens is just a breeze to work with in that regard. And really, I would say with Paul, he clicked with us. He got us. And I don't know if that's just the Chicago, Midwestern kind of thing, independent musician thing. But he really kind of, there's a lot of empathy. And I think that's what really shows on this album.
Okay. We are talking with Martin McCormick. He is half of Switchback. They will be at Bulldog Park Pavilion tomorrow with special guest Sophie Monroy. She is the lead vocalist, acoustic guitarist of the Chicago group Classical Blast. She's stretching out a little bit from her Classical Blast format, which, of course, will be coming back to town the end of the summer. But Sophie stepping out, Martin and Brian with their band will be performing. And again, this is a free family concert at a beautiful new pavilion. If you have not been to Bulldog Park yet, you need to treat yourself to it. Sit on the grass, bring blankets, bring your chairs. There is a cash bar there for most nights, if not all nights. There's food. It's a beautiful laid out to the design of this thing from Tri Electronics. It throws the sound in a beautiful fashion no matter where in the pavilion you are. It's just a great place to see this kind of music. Jerry Stickle will be doing sound. We're going to have a great time. I'll be there to bring the band on. I'm excited about it. You can keep up with the group at waygoodmusic.com. Birds of Prey, the new album. You can order it there, get it there, along with all their other past albums. This is number 18, correct, Marty?
Oh, boy. No. That's great. I was trying to figure that out the other day. I think this is our 17th album overall, but okay. I have to, because I had a reporter asking me, and I have to actually go through and count them.
Okay. I tried counting stuff that I could find, and so in my column yesterday, I put it's your 18th album. That was as close as for sure I could
right.
get.
You know, you're probably right, because in addition to, you know, our mainstream, our, you know, we also have, you know, that whole sacred music thing right. that we're doing, and so all those those albums are out there. So it's it's just like people asking us about our tour dates. I never really have a good idea how many we do in a year. You know, mm-hmm. it's just you just are moving so much.
Well, you also do a lot of the private events, the outreach programs.
Right.
I know we got to go here in a minute. We're going to play another song. But is there any outreach stuff that you can share with us for people in the Chicago market that might be able to attend? And what are the outreach programs?
Well, there's a lot of if you go to our website, and the ones that you can attend are the ones that actually have a date and a place. Most of the outreach that we do is for various groups, kids with special needs. We'll do shows for patients with dementia, retirement communities, schools. We work with the Hope Institute out of Springfield, Illinois. So some of these things are not public, but the public library shows, things like that, you know, the public can come and see us, and it's us playing all sorts of music, not just our own, but we have an amazing, far-reaching song bag of music going all the way back to the 1800s that we've just, from working together, doing all these shows over the years, are capable of doing. And so, you know, it's just, again, waygoodmusic.com, and you know, if you see that it has an address and a name and a place and a time, you're welcome to come.
All right. And if you have a group that addresses the care of special needs or senior citizens, you're interested, they can reach out there as well, correct?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's just one of our ways of reaching into the community. It's just that's, well, you know, that's our whole mission about music, bringing people together through music. We need it now more than ever.
All right. And one last comment, and that is your booklet. Amazing booklet. Has all the lyrics, has a beautiful set of liner notes from Chicago journalist Rick Kogan. What a great writer he is. He has captured the feel of what you guys have done. It's beautifully put together. The Birds of Prey artwork that you have. Just kudos to the packaging of this as well.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and, you know, we've got about four videos right now in production, and once those come, they're going to be wonderfully partners to this whole media package. So, like I said, we're just starting to celebrate it, and I encourage people to tag along for the ride. We'll have a big release show at Fitzgerald's in November 2nd. That would be the date that people in the Chicago area and Northwest Indiana can come and catch us with the big band, the big old band, and should be a great time.
And let's not forget, tomorrow is the actual anniversary of the formation of Switchback. So we're going to be celebrating tomorrow. We have to tip a pint or two, my friend.
Oh, that sounds great.
All right.
I'm always up for that.
We're going to close out with The Measure of the Master, another great song from this. Is there a story behind it before we play it?
Well, just very quickly, Brian was taught Tai Chi by a great Chinese Tai Chi master Master Liao, who came from China over to, of all places, Oak Park, Illinois. It's kind of a funny story. But I took some Tai Chi under Master Liao's student, Master Bob, as well. And all the references are to the various forms of Tai Chi in this tradition, and the idea that, you know, going inward, you can free yourself from so many things. And so that's what this The Measure of the Master is all about.
And, of course, there are plenty of bird references to sparrows and storks and everything else. There you go.
Kind of funny how that hung through the whole album.
It sure did. Read the lyrics, folks, and we'll see you tomorrow. Get your copy at Bulldog Park. Marty, thank you for making time for me today.
My pleasure, Tom. See you tomorrow.
All righty. Waygoodmusic.com so you can keep up, and this is The Measure of the Master. More good music from Birds of Prey.
Can't be found. Rise above the clouds. Root in the ground. The measure of the master can't be seen. Witness the moment. Grass sparrow's tale through the century. I'm out of the master, sets me free. The measure of the master can't be told. Listen to the music, forms unfold. Storm spreads wings through the century. I honor the master, sets me free. Can't be known. Seek perfection. Make it your own.